Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Remember to Breathe podcast. Thank you again, once again, for joining us this month. And we've got a really fun topic this month, and we're really excited to share it with you. But before I even mention that, we're just going to take a moment to stop what we're doing and just take a breath. So I invite you now just to put down if you're doing anything, just take a moment and just close down your eyes. And just relax for a moment. And then just take a deep breath in through the nose, deep into the belly. And just let it out through the mouth with a sigh. Let everything go. And one more time, take a big deep breath in through the nose, deep into the belly. And let everything go with your exhale. Sometimes it's just really good to take that moment, take a breath, come back to your body, and just release anything that you're holding on to. So this month, we're going to be discussing the topic of manifestation. And what exactly is manifestation? Because even when I say the word manifestation, I get a little bit of like a cringe. I get that kind of feeling of like, oh, what even is that? You know, it feels a bit like that kind of spiritual bypassing and woo-woo of just like how to be positive all the time and attract your life. There is, I think it's got itself a little bit of a bad rep these days, but when you learn the art of manifestation, which is, okay, what is manifestation? The art of turning your desires into reality. Okay, and before we even go further than that, I just want to go over the word desire. Because when Angela and I were discussing it, the word desire can have kind of like a bit of a stigma again around it. Because what is a desire? It's a deep wish or wanting for to have something or wishing for something to happen. For me, when I say the word desire, it doesn't feel like a superficial want or something that to satisfy me externally. A desire is like an internal feeling. Like something within you is just this deep desire, and maybe that has a little bit of connotation around society or maybe religion of maybe being something to do with pleasure or maybe being greedy. And I think even before we begin with manifestation, we have so much to unpack around it. But the important thing is to manifest, you have to know what you want and you have to go out and get it. You have to be putting yourself out there and be like, this is what I want from life. You're bold and you're courageous. And you have the bravery to go out there and get it and know that you're worthy of having a life you desire. So before we go any further into manifestation, Angela, I know you've had a tricky, even with the like relationship with the word manifestation. So it'd be really nice to know your opinion on the word manifestation and your journey with it.
So for me, it's exactly what you mentioned about that doubt or that cringe feeling of what when you say manifestation. Because for the longest period of my life till very recently, manifestation sounded like a very silly thing. Like it sounded really stupid. Because it for me, what I had related manifestation to was the closest thing that could come was the notion of prayer. And the way I was taught prayer, what I imagined prayer was just requesting or the expectation of something, just asking for something. But, and that's what I had associated manifestation with, like the mantras and just saying things, even if they don't feel true to you, kind of just that toxic positivity in a sense. So that's what I had associated manifestation with. But there are two people who kind of explained it well to me that helped me shift my perspective and understand the broader aspect of manifestation rather than just the expectation of it. So one was Mel Robbins, who has a book. One is the 5-second rule and the other is the high five habit. And both of those, she doesn't specifically say manifestation, but it's that notion of going from a place that you don't like the life you're living to imagining a life you want to have and accomplishing that. So it's, she speaks a lot also about not just the request and like the expectation, but then the action taken and how you need to change a lot of things, like the action aspect of manifestation. And the second was you. Like, you talk a lot about manifestation and the way you explain the science of it and like how it actually impacts the body made a lot of sense to me, because that was the language I like believed. Like, when it comes to science, that was like proof for me, like, oh, okay, there is something here, and like if I look into it, it'll make sense. It's not something that's just like, oh, blind, like, you know, blindly believe in it, like that blind faith. So I think those, you and Mel Robbins, kind of helped me understand the extra extent of manifestation that is not just limited to like blind faith, expectations, and just requesting for stuff. If you don't truly like believe in it and then pursue it and actually take action on it, that also is a very important part of manifestation. And that now I'm still in the process of trying to understand that and building that belief, or like seeing the results of manifestation. Because I very recently like flipped my narrative also and started thinking that, oh, there is something here that I need to explore. So that was my experience with the word manifestation.
Thank you for that. It's a really interesting one, because I think without realizing it, I've like gone really into a deep dive of like the idea of manifestation in my own life. And, you know, the structure we do in the workshops, and also hear this let go, align, create, which will follow this time, but a little bit more loose, because we're going to introduce the manifestation formula. But that is manifestation. Mm. You know, that let go, that align, and that create is the formula of how you manifest. And I think, like you said, there's perfect two aspects of like the belief and the action. And for a lot of the time, it's just like those limitations of like, oh, like, that's not for me, you know, or it's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Like, and I think the most important part is, before you even touch on manifestation, is, you know, like you said there, you flipped your perspective. And we do have to view life from a different lens when we start thinking about, okay, how am I going to manifest my desires? Okay, step one, you've got to be no longer victim of your life. You've got to realize that in every single moment, life is happening for you, not to you. And that's a big one. And we've discussed that before in previous episodes, of taking that kind of radical responsibility. But when you really learn that the universe is reflecting back people, situations, and mirroring things to you to allow you to grow and step into your fullest authentic self or your potential, that's when you really learn to kind of alchemize with this magic. Because it's something so simple as saying, I'm no longer a victim, but it isn't that simple. Yeah. It really is a lot harder. And even just that kind of, that trying to, I'm not a victim of my life. Like, yes, things can feel like they're happening to us all the time, and that's okay. Again, it's not that layer of like, I'm again falsely positive all the time, and I'm pretending that my life is great. It is getting in that nitty gritty and realizing that, okay, something has happened to me. I'm gonna feel all the feelings. I'm gonna work out, how can I learn from this? How can I alchemize this pain into growth? And that's when we kind of begin to dance with the universe and really understand that, things are always going to go my way if I allow myself to see the world that way.
Mm. And I like that differentiation between the life is not happening to you, it's happening for you. I kind of went an extra step of detaching it being about me, and I view it as life is happening around you, so it has nothing to do with me. Where like life stuff happen, right? Like it doesn't mean it's like about me or anything like that. It just happens around me. It's my perspective of how am I going to address that, or how am I going to view that. Like we spoke at the workshop also, at like someone was asking about, how do you know when something is good or bad for you? And then like my explanation there was, like, if you take a rainy day, like, it's just raining. There is no good or bad in the rain, but it's just depending on our day and what we have to get done, we can label it as good or bad. Like, if we are going to be staying at home the whole day, it's good that it's raining, because it's going to be a nice lazy day, a peaceful day where you can just relax and do nothing. But if you have to go out and get some work done, then it's a bad day because it's raining. So like, just that same event, we're looking at it just from a different perspective based on our experience or opinion of what we need to do. So I think like that really helped me kind of, like the idea of life not happening to me, it happening for me, like just detaching myself completely from it, where then I can view it like, okay, how do I want to take this situation that's happening around me, like just happening in my vicinity, or like, you know, I'm experiencing it, how do I want to view it? And then there I get the choice of whether I want to view it in a good way or a bad way, or like I get the option there, rather than blaming it and like everything external being the cause for my misery or my suffering, and like going back to the victimhood thing, where like everything is happening, so like because of that, like that's controlling me in that sense. So like that helped me get out of that victim mindset and move into that, like, hey, you have a choice here. Things are just happening. Choose how you want to approach it or address it.
That's so nice. Like exactly how you said, like when you let go of control, you give yourself a choice.
Yeah.
And it's really is that is, you just explained it so well. And like you say, that when the rainy day comes, like the same as with the seasons come and the sun comes and spring comes and winter comes, like life goes through these seasons and we go through these seasons. Sometimes things are going really great. Sometimes things aren't going so great. Sometimes we're dealing with grief. Sometimes we have so many different things that we're dealing with. But instead of attaching those things to how we're feeling, it's realizing that I go through seasons too. Exactly. And things change, and change will always happen. The only constant in life is change. Like, and understanding that, you know, if something is hard, you will get through it. It will end. It will change. And realizing, you know, is that surrender to that, that letting go of control. And like you say, I can't necessarily choose what's happening to me, but I can choose how I respond to it.
Exactly.
I can, you know, I can do that. And that's the really beautiful thing with it. And also what I really like there is about this kind of good and bad, like the idea of, you know, even when you say like a lovely rainy day at home, it feels so good, right? And then, oh, you're out and about and you need to get stuff done and it's raining, it's so annoying, you know? Or maybe you planned a holiday and it rains, oh, it's so annoying. It's that kind of good, bad, right, wrong, black, white. It's that kind of positive and negative, which isn't us. It's just how your mind works. Your mind is forever searching for whatever belief that you have, is looking to validate it in every moment. So the lens you view life from, it's looking for proof. And that is just like the system that your mind works off. And when growing up, we actually learn through a lot through negative association, like don't do that, you know, don't put your hand on the fire, it's hot. And again, all these things are to keep us safe and for our brain to work off the path of least resistance. But, you know, that wanting life to be binary when it's really not, it's just the kind of the program our mind works off. And when we realize that and detach ourselves from that, like this situation doesn't need to be good or bad, it can just be. And really let ourselves go and realize when you get into that kind of like, oh, this, that, am I doing it right, am I doing it wrong, just be like, this isn't me, this is just my mind trying to control a situation that maybe I feel fearful of.
And I think that's the term for that is confirmation bias, if I'm not mistaken, where, like, whatever you believe, like, whether you believe, like, oh, okay, this is a bad situation, your brain is going to constantly be looking for how it proves that, like, the confirmation bias, where it proves that this is a bad situation. So you'll never see the good in it. Like, even in life, if you're going through, if you say, oh, I always have bad luck, bad stuff happen to me constantly. So each step you take in, like, the direction of growth, you won't view as growth. It'll just be one step. But the moment you mess up, because you have convinced yourself that bad luck happens to you, that one mistake will seem like you're going 10 steps back. But when it's just one mistake, and like the goods you have taken as one step, but the moment one bad thing happens, it's like 10 steps back. So then you're confirming to yourself, like, see, bad luck happens to me. I said it, like I knew it. So it depends on what you view it. But if you be proud of yourself and be happy with the accomplishments you take, no matter how small they are, the few, like one step you take forward, the moment something bad happens and you're not focusing on that, you're looking for, like, moving forward, you're like, okay, I made a mistake, how do I move forward? then like your growth is so much more, because you'll be viewing only the good, and even if something bad happens, forgive yourself, be like, I made a mistake, cool, I'm just human, what's the next step? And it's just that narrative, like everything around you is just happening, and it's just the way you choose to view it. And something you mentioned about the constant in life being change. So I think last episode I spoke about the three kind of principles I have of life, and last time I spoke about the only certainty being death. So the other two are the only constant in life is change, which if you, for me, the way I view it is we are creatures of habit. So we are designed in a way where we like repetition or like complacency or like, you know, similar, like the similar thing happening, but life is constantly changing. So that's why that whole victimhood thing is so commonplace, because we are not designed for life, because life is constantly changing, but we are creatures of habit who like consistency and complacency. So we're trying to stay same, but we should, as humans, like we should learn to use that strength of having habits to design the habits towards growth and towards accepting change and adapting to change. So that is why that notion of looking to grow, right? That is change. Growth is like constant change, right? Because as life goes, things change, and we need to learn to adapt to that. So I feel like that's where people say like life is unfair, or life is, you know, because it's not designed for us. We need to learn to take our strengths to kind of build that. And then the other aspect of it was, the other C was, the only control in life is our choices and decisions. And like, we think that there are so many things we can control, and we try to control aspects that are external from us and we can't really control. Like even for me, like say, I don't want you to say something to me, like use a certain phrase. I can't control what you'd say, but I can control how I would respond to that. And I could like question myself, like, why are you getting triggered by that phrase? What is it? Go deeper, like address that issue and then figure it out. So it might seem like choices and decisions are such a small thing, but it can change your whole perception of life and the world and the way you go around the world, right? So it can be such a big impact if you focus on what you have control over and like let the things that you don't have control over just happen. Like, you know, let them go in a sense and be free to that.
Completely. And like anything, if this is something new to you, it takes practice and it takes that forgiveness and that keeping of going. And, you know, it really is like that voice that we all have in our head is really mean a lot of the time. And it can be far meaner like than anyone else I know. That voice in my head can be really mean to me. And, you know, instead of punishing yourself or seeing life as being a victim to it and being hard, like it really does take that perspective shift. And one of the best ways to do that, that everyone talks about, is gratitude. And I remember the first time, it's like, everyone's like, ah, oh, you just have to learn about gratitude. And I'm like, great. Like, it was a very surface level. I didn't know how to really understand it deeper. But really, when you learn to see, when you're grateful for all you have, you're doing that. You're seeing what you have and you're being grateful for it. So instead of waiting for things to happen in life to feel a certain way, you're like, oh, I can feel grateful for this. If you look to find the things you're grateful for in your life, then your mind will start looking for more things. Mm-hmm. And you're choosing how to look a certain way. And, you know, it, like I said a minute ago, it does take practice, because also when we're maybe feeling down or not feeling great, like our body releases certain chemicals and hormones, and we do get addicted to those, and we get used to being a creature of habit, like you said, and we get stuck if we're not careful in that. So it really is important to just begin by looking at kind of like, what do I already have, what I'm grateful for, and starting to shift your perspective. And one more thing is realizing that what you see isn't all there is. Like, everything is energy, and we're vibrating at a frequency, and that's everything. Even, you know, matter is just energy vibrating at a certain frequency. And when we realize that there is so much more than we can just see with our eyes, and there is so much that is greater, you know, you think about feelings. You can't see a feeling, but you can feel things in your body. And a lot of us have got so disassociated with our bodies and trusting our feelings, and even the idea of making a choice can feel hard when maybe you feel like you don't make any choices in your life and someone else has made all those choices for you and it's not fair. But it really is coming back to like getting to know yourself, feeling back into your body, building up that trust from yourself, and then everything kind of ripples out and becomes a lot easier.
Mm.
And, you know, so seeing life not as a victim, knowing that we go through seasons and then realizing that there's more than meets the eye is one of the really important aspects before manifestation. And also the second one is deconditioning. And I think we did a really beautiful exercise in the workshop that kind of just came to me where I just asked everyone to close down their eyes, take a breath, and I said one sentence. And the sentence that I said is there is enough. There is enough for everyone to be healthy, happy, and wealthy in the whole world. And that's a pretty loaded sentence. And it's quite hard to receive. Because we've been told there isn't enough. That if you have too much, someone else is suffering. And that, yes, suffering happens throughout the world, but if you actually truly start to learn to see the world through the lens of abundance and that there is enough to go around, that's when we begin to kind of let go of these stories and decondition. How did you find that aspect of the workshop with the idea, and what did that sentence resonate with you?
I really like believed in that sentence because something I also have heard a lot about and seen is the two aspects of scarcity mindset and abundance mindset. So it's spoken about even when you're trying to like approach business and stuff, like a lot of people compete in that aspect, that like there is not enough of like demand to go around. But a lot of the, I would say, successful businessmen that I follow who have kind of got to a point that I would like to get to, like a lot of them speak about the abundance mindset, where they collaborate because there is more than enough to go around. And like, so because of hearing it on that aspect, when you mentioned that, like it felt so much true in a different sense, where it was about life, it was about opportunities, it was about luck, like it was about me being able to grow or like flourish in life. And I felt very true and like possible. And so it like, it was nice to hear because like I had thought about that and like coming to a point of like believing in it, and like hearing that, I was like, oh, like that is what it is, like there is enough, and like there are the people who believe this, so then you can find people who have that same mindset, right? And then that collaboration aspect also opens up. And when it comes to life, even people who think of abundance in life, and I think you shared at the workshop about the thing that resonated with you when you came to Sri Lanka, which is the amount of fruit, the abundance. And like I think a day after that, you shared a picture of like a tree with a whole load of jackfruit and you had tagged all of us. And like, even that was really nice because now it opened my eyes of going out and looking for that abundance. It's not just me trying to tell myself about it, but okay, let's, that confirmation bias. Let's go seeking for that abundance in the world. And then I'll see it and see opportunities and start opening my eyes up to that. And that was really nice. I really like that exercise that we did at the workshop.
It's so true. And it goes back to that kind of like how you view the world. Literally, it's like you can either see lack or you can see abundance. And I grew up very much in a lack mindset with a single parent household with my sister. There wasn't enough to go around. And I grew up with the rhetoric of kind of like, if you have too much, someone else is being taken from.
Mm.
And that took a huge thing, and I still sometimes it comes up, and I very much still train myself to see the abundance, see in nature, see in you know, fruits, in the trees, in the greenery. You can see the abundance of water. You can look what resonates abundantly in your body. But that feeling like there was never enough sometimes comes up, especially if I'm going through a certain chapter of my life where I'm evolving a little bit more. That same wound will come up again. But it really is something that you have to kind of learn to manage to regulate yourself through, because there is enough.
Mm.
There is enough for the whole world. And I'm not saying, you know, someone else in the online class, well, then why is there war? Why is there suffering? And it's like, yes, there so many questions, and it's good to question these things, and there is so much hardship in the world. It doesn't mean that it's all going to be smiley and great and positive, but if you can train yourself to see life through that lens of abundance, you will start to be abundant. Mm-hmm. It's that simple.
And I think a good example that a lot of, I feel like, Sri Lankans would have grown up with is the idea of, like, even when you eat, like, most of our parents would be like, if we have remained anything, they're like, don't waste food. There are kids starving in Africa. That I'm sure that's like globally.
Definitely globally.
But like that sentence, even for me, that never resonated. Like it always bothered me. And like not very recently, but like when I could think for myself and I got to that age, I would question that. Because that statement, I understand where it comes from. It's like, I want you to eat. I don't want you to, you know, be hungry, finish all your food kind of thing. We don't want to throw it. It's a waste. But that sentence of there are kids starving in Africa didn't make sense, because I was like, then why are you throwing it? Why not go give it to them?
Yeah.
And like, isn't that encouraging greed? Because I can tell that I'm full. I'm like physically feeling full. My body is telling me I'm full. But then that idea of like, no, because it's on the plate, it has been served, like you have to eat it because we don't want to throw it. But like, then I'm eating out of greed. Because like my body has told me it's full, and I'm just forcing myself to, I feel worse doing that than like, you know, giving it to someone. Like if they're starving, then go and give them this food. Don't force me to eat it out of greed just to like finish the plate, or don't throw it. And like that was a real struggle for me, and I always questioned. I know a lot of kids also question that, like when they were told that statement. But I know where it came from. Like parents just wanted you to eat, be healthy, be full, you know. And it was like, okay, the alternate option is us throwing this, which it's better if you eat it. But then, like, the things that came along with it didn't make sense to me, which wasn't an abundance mindset. You know, it's more of that scarcity, like, let's finish this food. And even what you mentioned about, like, living in a household like that, even for us, like, obviously Sri Lanka financial situation and all that, even for me growing up, it was very, like, scarcity mindset. Like, you get money, save it. Like, all about saving money. Like, let's not spend on stuff that is not important to everyone. Like, whether you find it important or it's something that will bring you joy, no. Like, it has to be important to everyone. And then only we get it. So, like, those minds that I feel are very common in, like, families and households and with just humans in general.
And there's a great difference between, like, being silly and spending all your money and like being in lack. That's one thing for sure. Anyone's like, oh, I'm going to go out and feel abundant. Yeah. Like, no, don't be silly. And actually, when you're describing there, the idea of like you having a plate of food and you being full, your body feels full, yet you're being told you need to eat this. That's like the perfect metaphor of like how we, from such a young age, have this like disconnection to our bodies. Like you have a feeling, I feel full, but no, society tells us that we can't waste things. And it's that disassociation that begins, no, between like truly trusting what you feel, but society tells me I need to do this. You know, I can't be wasteful, I can't be that, I have to do things a certain way, but my body's saying no, I'm enough. So even just something as simple as like, that's how that gap can come between trusting our bodies and trusting our feelings and being in our bodies. And that was really interesting. As you're saying that, I was like, oh, I feel like there's, you know, the parity between us as humans and the greater collective, or how we should present ourselves in society, is very, very interesting.
I think that also comes with emotions, right? Like when a kid falls or hurts themselves, like, they feel pain, they know they're in pain, that's why they're expressing the emotion of like crying. But when you're told, don't cry, it's not that bad, it makes you question like, okay, so then is that emotion I'm feeling invalid? Or like, something's wrong with me that I'm not supposed to, because I'm told by obviously people I look up to and like I trust in, that I'm not supposed to feel pain, but I am feeling pain. So then there again, the disassociation of, this is what my body's telling me, but I've been told that, oh no, they're like, you're not feeling that.
Yeah.
Which like can really confuse kids, and that's where that whole holding your emotions in and not like expressing them comes from, and like that can go to a very dangerous place.
So dangerous that like don't cry, like
don't express yourself.
Yeah, it's so hard, and You know, kids just learn through their environment and their caregivers and everything around. They're looking at you to see the reaction or how to learn how to gauge things. And that, ugh, that don't cry is just like, ugh, like if you don't cry and you feel like you need to cry, it needs to go somewhere, right? It's either going to go in and get trapped or it needs to come out. Like, but it's that, like, don't embarrass yourself. Don't be seen as an emotional person. You know, there's so many different connotations for men and women. You know, men don't cry, and then if a woman cries, she's like hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, so there's two ends of the spectrum there. So I think we should move into the manifestation formula itself. So we've gone a bit over of like changing the way you see things, and the the manifestation formula has three steps. I'm going to say they're three simple steps, and they are, but they, like, have a lot to them. So we'll go and unpack them a little bit more. But, okay, before I go into the three steps of the manifestation formula, when you manifest, you don't manifest from your conscious mind. You manifest from your subconscious mind. And so I'm just going to leave that there for a moment, and we'll go and unpack that a little bit more. Because otherwise you could be like, I want this in my life, and it hasn't come to you. And it's because subconsciously, and, you know, we go into a lot about the subconscious mind and, you know, your frequency that you're living in, and kind of your frequency can be translated into your self-worth or your level of deservingness, which you subconsciously feel, based on a lot to do with your upbringing and that kind of thing. So if we were manifesting from our conscious mind, we would just be drawing it all in straight away. But when we realize we manifest from our subconscious mind, from our level of worthiness, what we believe we are deserving of in this life, that's really, really important to bear that in mind. So the manifestation formula. Step one, know what you want and why. Step two, feel the energy in the present moment. Raise your vibrational energy and your emotional state. Step three, let go. Detach, surrender, and trust that it's coming from you. For me, manifestation is like the perfect dance between the feminine and the masculine. And I don't mean gender here. I mean the feminine and masculine energy running through all of us. The do, the action, the get stuff done, the surrender, the let go. And it really is learning the balance of the two. It's knowing what you want. It's taking that aligned action, going out and getting it, and taking those daily commitments and steps to go get your goal. And then it's also that kind of like trusting it's coming. Because if we're grasping, we're controlling it, we're trying to micromanage the universe when it's coming, we're in this lack. Mm-hmm. We don't trust that it's coming to us. So the first one, let's go a little bit more. Know what you want and why. And it's not as simple as being like, I want this thing. You have to believe that you're deserving of this thing. You have to believe that is in your body, you feel like, oh my gosh, I can draw this into my life. Can you maybe, Angelo, explain a little bit more about that kind of belief or what you've experienced, that kind of belief?
For me, the belief aspect comes a lot from like looking inward, and like you mentioned, the societal beliefs, the conditionings you have already, you have in place, questioning those, just questioning everything you believe. Because when I came to the point of, like in the previous episode, what we spoke about, the realizations of like, oh, I have convinced myself about that this is who I am, like, and clearly that was like changed or like, you know, not true, then it's like, what else can I question? So it's just questioning, even if you think something is so set in stone, just the openness to like questioning it, like that curiosity, it creates so much of like understanding yourself and then going deeper into understanding your purpose. And that's what I do with even branding. It's even though the term for the service is branding, it's more for me, like I really like helping like creators and people who have certain skills that they want to use to like make a change in the world or help the world with their skills, like helping them understand that and helping them communicate it in the visual sense and like in their messaging. And like that's what I like love doing, and that's why I realized at the end, oh, that's called branding. Like that's the term for it. But because I went through that self-discovery and I realized this is what I like, this is what I like helping people doing, and now I want to kind of help that is a path that I feel is true to me, and like helping others kind of figure that purpose out. And I feel like that is like the idea of it is, for me, purpose, like finding your purpose. And like, you'll have a lot of ideas and things you like doing, but then purpose is not just finding it, but then you'll have quite a few, picking that one and kind of going down that path, making that choice. It's not easy, because it's like, okay, what if this is the wrong one? Like, that fear is always there. What if like one of the other two is the correct one? But it's just picking it, going down that path, and then if after a while you feel like you're not enjoying doing that, enjoying living that life, try something else. Like, and I think a good example is David Goggins. He was a like obese black man who wanted to join the army, and when he went to where they kind of recruit, they were like, only like, I'm not sure if I'm correct with this, but only 6 other black men have got into this. Like, are you sure you're the 7th one? And he had that mindset of being like, what if I am the 7th one? And like that belief in himself. And then he put himself through the training, and he lost all the weight, and he like became really fit. And then he left the, I don't know if it was Navy or Army, but then he now then became a life coach. And now for the longest time he was a life coach, and very recently he said he wants to go into like medicine and helping people with their health and stuff. So he has just transitioned. And like, it doesn't mean if you pick that purpose, you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. Like, that's what we are taught through the school system also, that pick your career now when you don't even know what the hell you like and not, and like go with that for the rest of your life. You can change it, but it's just have that consistency or the belief that this is true to me and I'm going to pursue this. So then that is, for me, what belief is.
Yeah, it's realizing that you can do everything you want. Like, your life is just pure potential. And again, it's like, oh, is this the right path for me? That's your brain, okay? It's gone back to this binary living of yes, no, right, wrong. And instead of viewing it that way, view it as an experiment, a journey. Everything is getting you closer. And as long as you're following what's authentic and joyful for you, it doesn't matter what it looks like, because it feels good in your body. And that, I think when you say purpose for that for me is like the why. Yeah, why exactly. Are you doing it? That's your fuel. Because at the end of the day, that passion, that joy, that excitement, that is going to get you through every obstacle. When failure comes, when diversions come, when it doesn't look like you thought it would look like. And that really is the power behind everything, is your why. And I always read, like, this sentence comes up a lot, and it's like, don't worry about the how. Just focus on your why. Don't worry about how it's going to come to you. You can't control that. You just have to be open and ready to receive what you want from your life. And you just have to be prepared for it. And again, another thing that I read the other day that it resonates so much in my heart is that you have to meet God halfway. Like, you can pray, you can ask for what you want, but you have to show up. Because if we manifest from the level of self-worthiness or what we deserve, you have to meet God or the divine or universal energy, whatever you want to call it. You have to be like, I'm worthy and I am ready and I am open and I'm going to just keep on going until it comes to me. Like, I just love that, the idea of that it is a choice. It, like I said, it's that balance between the surrender and the getting shit done. Because I remember when I first started to kind of manifest things into my life, I was kind of like, what's the difference between manifestation and a to-do list? You know, because you can kind of be like, oh, I want to get this done. I want to manifest this into my life. And it is really that sweet spot of like knowing what you want, getting that aligned action, but also just being like, I'm going to manifest something and just be ready to receive it. I'm not going to control when it's going to come in.
I think also to add to that, something you mentioned about like the meeting God halfway kind of thing, and then saying about how it's not just about saying that you want those things, you have to like truly believe, and it's that purpose that it comes from. I think a lot of people aren't like convinced that they're worthy enough. Like what you mentioned, you have to have that self-worth and be like, oh, I'm worthy enough to receive this. It's not having that worthiness. And obviously what we're speaking about is not the toxic positivity of like, I'm worthy even though you feel like you're not. I think it's important to take the actions to prove to yourself that you're worthy and build up that worth, self-worth. And I saw this really interesting thing that kind of changed my perspective also on it, that if, let's say, I invite you to go for like a coffee or something, and then I turn up there, and then, or like before going, like 1 hour before, you call me and say, hey, I can't turn up. I'd be like, cool, that's fine, like, let's reschedule. Then we put it to the next day, a coffee again. Then I turn up there. And then when I call you and ask where you're, like, you're, hey, I didn't feel like it, I'm not coming today. Like, am I going to, like, ask you again? Like, my trust in that friendship or that you turning up will be less, right? And the notion of that was, like, view that as you being a friend to yourself. When you promise yourself, tomorrow I'm going to wake up at 5, or tomorrow I'm going to wake up and work out, when you wake up, if you tell yourself, like, oh, I'm too tired, I'm too sleepy today, like, it's raining, it's a, you give yourself an excuse, that is exactly the same thing you're doing. You're breaking that trust you have with yourself. So the moment you think you want to do something big or manifest something big, you're like, no, like, I don't trust you to actually get that done, because you couldn't even do the small thing of the small promise you kept to yourself. So you break that trust with you. So it's about taking those small actions to build that trust up again, so that you build up that self-worth, so that you can trust yourself that I am ready for this. If it comes my way, I am ready to actually take action and make this happen. So I think building that trust with yourself is very, like, the, like, a nice starting for that self-worth, building up that self-worth.
It's like the trust muscle.
Exactly.
You have to build up that muscle, and you have to believe that, okay, if I show up today, these small things, I wake up, I commit to myself. And, you know, if we manifest from a subconscious level based on our self-worth, and, you know, I can't show up for myself daily, and the universe is going to reflect back my own energy, well, then it's just going to reflect that back to me. It's going to have obstacles and going to be showing me things, so until I get to that point of being like, ah, I need to focus on myself first. And then, so that's know what you want and why. Yeah. And I, you know, I challenge everyone who's listening to this to, like, start to think maybe one thing you want in your life. And, you know, it can be something superficial. It doesn't have to be a great thing. It can just be kind of like, I want a new car, or I want a better job, I want to earn more money. Like, play with this, see it, experiment, get into it. And then once you know what you want and why, the second one is raise your vibrational energy and feel it in the present moment now. And again, we can, that's kind of like two aspects. Feel it in the present moment now is really important because, and we go back to our gratitude and abundance here is a great one to go back to, because if you're wanting to have more financial freedom and call in more money every month, but you don't know how to feel abundant right now, and the universe gives you what you are as an energetic match, then how is it going to match you? So instead of thinking like, I'll feel this way when this happens, you allow yourself, okay, how can I look for abundance now? How can I feel that way now? And personally, I've been going through a little bit of an experiment with my other business where I'm wanting another level of success. And for a while, I was kind of looking at it from the very kind of 2D. Like, okay, how can I achieve this? How can I get more? How? The hows, not the whys. And then I realized that, okay, what is the core of my business? Okay, whatever that is, I need to embody that energy. So instead of looking at what do I want success, okay, for me to truly understand and manifest what I want, I have to be the embodiment of that. And so we create handbags and clothing and jewelry. So what do we create beautifully? We create beautiful handmade things. So I have to be in that resonance, that like resonant frequency myself. So how can I embody this beauty in every day? And therefore I will become a vibrational match to what I'm trying to pour in. I hope that made sense. But that's like something in my own mind that I'm trying to do. It's kind of like, how can I feel beauty in my everyday to be the vibrational match for what I want to call in? Does that make sense?
Yeah. that's interesting. Because I think it, when you mentioned that, it resonated with the conversation we had yesterday about how I was telling you how when it comes to my projects even, that like for the branding, I haven't like marketed myself or posted on Instagram, which is the only platform I'm on, like in maybe a year or two. And like, still though, each time a project is coming close to its end and I'm like, oh, okay, like project is going to end. Do I take a small break or do I focus on marketing to get a few of these things? always when it's close like that, somehow or other, like, some of them message me and be like, hey, I'm starting this new thing. Like, I saw that you're into branding. What are the services you can provide? Or how can you help me? And, like, I mentioned to you that it feels so random and, like, magical. And I think it resonated because you mentioned, I'm not thinking about the how I'm going to get another client. It's like, and I mentioned even why I do branding. Like, that is the core thing of why I do it. I want to, like, help people communicate that story of what they're so passionate about. They're, like, taking the risk to start a business on it or, like, you know, pursue this purpose they have. So, like, I go about it with that's why I couldn't explain it. I was telling you, it feels so random, magical, like, I don't know how the hell it works. But that doesn't mean, like, don't market yourself or, like, try those things. But it's just, like, it was so confusing to me. But I think, like, that helped me understand it also, that, like, I'm going about it with the why rather than how am I going to get more clients, how am I going to get more money, how am I going to keep projects coming in. Like, not the how, but rather why am I doing this?
Yeah.
So I think that kind of helped me answer that question I had of, like, this is so confusing, how is it continuously happening? And I think that's just me trusting that and, like, letting, let's say, the universe kind of play its role or take its part.
Yeah, when you're ready to receive, it comes through. And I think this is such an important thing. We focus on the how is it going to come to me? What's it going to look like? Controlling, right? We're in that lack of not trusting.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're like, okay, when those feelings come up, I'm going to double down on focusing on my why it's important to me and focusing on that and getting the passion going again. And then that moment where you're like, oh, I need a new client, the universe brings because you're like, oh, I was open and ready.
Yeah.
I was just ready to receive. And I think I said to you yesterday, that's the power of, like, you know, manifesting from that aspect of the feminine. You know, that kind of just like being open and just like, oh, I'm ready. Okay, cool. Person comes in and it does feel like magic. Like, I've had it so many times where someone will message you out the blue and they're like, I've got your number off so-and-so. I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, okay, I'll follow that path and see what happens down there. And it's really, really interesting. So it's that embodying, finding the feelings that you're wanting to create, not focusing on how you're going to get more money, how it's going to come, just like what is the why behind it all, and trying to feel that in the present moment. And the second one is raise your vibrational energy. And this is where breathwork comes in, because breathwork is just like a magical manifestation tool. Because, you know, when we're, especially in the longer breathwork sessions that we do, like in the workshop, when you're breathing in a rhythm, when you're putting your body in that parasympathetic nervous system, when you're producing all these wonderful hormones and chemicals that make you feel good in that moment, when you feel good, that's when, you know, not only does your energetic field expand, you know, your heart and your mind, your body come into unison, like you become magnetic and you begin to attract. And this is something that I only learned recently, but the way that it made a lot of sense to me was when you feel good, you have good thoughts. And when you have good thoughts, you take good actions. And when you take good actions, you have good results. Like, it's that simple. For me, it's like 2 + 2 = 4. And the same thing, and then that creates like a pattern. And then that will create a loop, and then you'll get in that cycle. But the same thing is that if you have bad feelings or disassociated feelings from your body, I'm saying good and bad is a very basic way to understand it. And then, you know, that's going to have unhealthy thoughts or negative thoughts that's going to lead to probably inaction or self-sabotage that will not equal good results, or you'll be disappointed in the results. And again, that will create a downward spiral. So when we say raise your vibrational energy and feel it in the present moment, if your emotional state can be greater than whatever you're flowing through or going through, and you can raise your vibrational energy, you will become, I don't want to say like a higher vibration, you will just open your heart and be more willing to receive. You will be feeling good in the moment, and it's that simple. Feel good, think good, do good. Like, it really is that powerful.
And I think it's nice that you mentioned about like the resonating kind of thing, and like how those build up, like just the feeling good to the good thoughts to that. For me, it comes back to just like the small things of taking care of yourself, right? Even just getting good sleep, like thinking about what you eat. Like in the moment, you'd be like, I'm just eating something. I'm hungry and I'm trying to fill my stomach. Or like, let's take 2 hours of my sleep. It won't affect that much. But those small good actions are what then build up to that. like where you respect yourself enough to take care of yourself and not let your mind be like, ah, that's fine, like kind of just justify it. It's that you promised, like again, going back to that trust, right? You promised yourself you're going to sleep at this time, but you're like, ah, 2 hours is fine. Like you're breaking that trust there itself. That in itself, creating that disassociation leads to those, what you mentioned, like the bad outcomes and all of that builds up, that adds up like over time. And I think I just want to kind of specify on, like we spoke a bit about how it's magical, kind of it sounded like blind faith. But then when it comes to that point, I feel like it's very important to find instances of like confirming to you that that is possible, like facts in life that it's possible. Because recently I remember I had a conversation with my cousin and we were talking about getting clients and like focusing on like who we can approach and stuff like that. And I understood how much I have like ingrained myself in that abundance mindset where he was like we have to look at our competition, see like who the clientele is, because like we'll be competing with people. But then for me, I was like, no, just think about it like factually, right? How many new businesses come up like every single day? Like every person at a point would, you know, majority of people want to start their own business or even their own side venture. Now with the way internet is, like you can have your 9 to 5 and then you can have a side thing. And like they'll need our services. So like, it's not that we have to only target the existing companies who are like at the top. If we are a startup, that's not going to be our audience even, right? Like, because they want to go with people who are at the same level. So it's like, okay, like, is there constant like businesses coming up? Yes, that's in abundance. Like every day there will be a new business, more than one, right? So it's like, we'll always have clients. So like, then I like realized to myself like, oh, and he also understood. He was like, oh, like I didn't think of it that way. I was thinking of this competition and like having competitors and like not enough clients, like, you know, I was all poaching for the same clients. And then I realized, oh, that's the scarcity mindset. And I'm so ingrained in the abundance mindset now that that was so like, that was my reaction to that, like, oh, we have to figure out our competition and what they are doing and be one up. I'm like, no, like, we'll find the clients for us. And in a weird way, I was saying, like, it'll come to us as well. Like, you know, we shouldn't worry. We should just focus on doing what we're doing well, taking the action from our end, what we can control, putting in the effort, taking the action and improving whatever we're providing to them. And, like, providing it, focus on our clients. Who are we helping? Why are we doing this? Not the how. Focusing on the why. So I feel like finding those facts that kind of prove to you that it is possible is very important, rather than just that blind faith of like, you know, it will happen, it can happen, just because your mind needs that kind of proof, right? Like otherwise it won't trust it. It'll be like, no, where is the proof? Like you're just trying to convince me of something that doesn't exist. If you keep like reminding yourself about those, you'll be like, oh, it is possible. Then find stories that those have happened, like, you know, where people came from really tough spots and situations and created something amazing and like created something that helps the world so much, and they might have come from a dark place. So if that's possible, why isn't it possible for me when I haven't been in such a dark place even? And you know, I can like, it creates more potential for me. So that is important. I wanted to just specify that it's not blind faith, it's more finding stories and like finding the facts and the conviction to yourself.
It's like finding the proof.
Yes, exactly.
And that's so important, because like you said, you find the proof, you believe it can happen, your mind will look for it. Like, that's the way it works.
Exactly.
It's really, really powerful. You do have to, like, I believe this is possible for me. You know, say you're looking to earn more money, because there's a lot of things where people want. Okay, I want to earn $500 extra a month. Okay, what would you do with that? Do you believe that you are worthy of that? Oh, no, I don't need that. Maybe I'll be greedy if I ask for that, or what would I do with that? No, you have to have the confidence to go back, find where these stories are coming from, and release them. That, you know, again, takes a lot of, this is where the power of breath work comes in, because it really allows you to detach from your current situation. It really allows you, and you've spoken about this, it allows you to like push through those fear blocks when you hit like that level of your edge, and then you're like, oh, I can't go any further. Breath work really allows you to build up that nervous system regulation training that allows you to be like, I can do it. What's really going to happen? Nothing. I'm going to jump off this cliff. I'm going to do that, because it's making those, taking those risks big risk equals big change, and realizing if that didn't go my way, that's okay, and really having the confidence. Like you said, even just being like, oh, we're not going to focus on our competition, we're going to focus on how we can, you know, we can, what we can give to our clients. I'm either focusing on the negative energetically, or we're trying to bat people away, or I can focus my energy on what I can give, how we can flourish. And that's so important, because all that is confidence. I feel confident enough in what I do. And it's having that like embodied confidence that it's like, I know that I can get through everything, that if I fail, it isn't an attachment to myself. And I struggle with that a lot. I have great attachment to kind of feeling if I've done something, if it doesn't go my way, I've done something wrong and it's my responsibility. And that's something very much that I'm learning through, and I still nurture myself through, and I'm getting better at every day because I'm consistently addressing it. But it is really important to find that this is, I can do this. I'm going to build up this confidence, build up this trust muscle. And another thing we do in the workshop is visualization. Mentally rehearse, know what you want, see it, believe it. Like, again, that will train your brain for that proof that you believe it's possible for you.
I think now it would be nice to move on to the let go part, because that was a really interesting exercise you did with the let go aspect of it at the workshop. Because at the start, you usually give us it's like a file you give us where we write, do the whole kind of brainstorming part of it and then share in. And this time you gave us an A4 paper, and you at the start mentioned that there's a reason for that. And I was curious throughout the whole thing. I was like, what's the reason going to be? And then I loved the kind of exercise you did, if you want to explain that too.
Yeah, so this time I got everyone to write out what they wanted to manifest. We did a bit of journaling around it, and then we had this whole piece of paper that we'd gone through the whole workshop with. And at the end of it, it was to go home and burn it. To let it go. Everything that we'd gone through, instead of like physically holding on to it, like just burn it, let it go, and be like, it's coming to me. And the third step, which is detachment, is letting go, is trusting like that it is going to come to you when you're ready, and you just have to be prepared, is the most beautiful part. And you know, physically burning something is an act of letting go. You know, whether you throw something away, you rip it up, you burn it, like that is physically letting something go. The same way with a lot of breath work, your exhale is letting go. And being able to trust enough that, because a lot of things come to control, and we all find a lot of safety in controlling other people around us or ourselves, and that can manifest in all different ways. But is really, really powerful having that courage, and that's where that feminine comes in, the kind of like, it is coming to me and I don't need to manage that, I just trust it. Because it comes back to that kind of, whatever is meant for me will never pass me by, and that if an opportunity didn't come up, well, it wasn't for me, that's fine, I'm ready for my next one, I'll keep doing what I do, doing what I love, ready to be a vessel to be filled again. You know,
and I think it's interesting that you use the word desire also at the start. Because for me, that letting go makes it a desire where it's like, I would kind of like this. This is something I wish for, want, but I'm not clinging on to it. For me, that attachment to it is like an expectation. And expectations lead to like disappointment. Like you constantly be disappointed, because even if it happens in a certain way, if it doesn't happen the way you expected it, you are still disappointed. Even if it's a different form or like a different version, it still came to you because it didn't happen the way you had attached to it, like you'll be disappointed. And like that in itself is like, you know, like a negative in a sense. But if you let it go and you're trusting that it'll happen, and that again comes to that building up that trust to be able to let it go. Because you're like, if I forget this, like, will it ever happen? Will I see it coming? Like, if the opportunity comes, will I miss it? But just trusting that, hey, I've done the work, I'm doing the work to make this possible, and I'm desiring it, I just need to let it go and trust that it'll happen. I think that let go is like strongly associated with trust, right? Like you need to trust that it will happen to let be able to let it go even. And I think that just the action of like burning it is like you mentioned, right? Just it's a tangible thing that you can see of letting go. Otherwise, it's always in your head. Like, and when the thought comes up, you're like, should I let this go? It's a cool idea. It's a good idea. Or it's a, you know, possibility. Should I try it? Like, just that practice in actions like that of letting go. And even if it comes to, like, physical objects, like, you know, sentimental stuff and stuff, if you learn to let it go, you'll know that those memories still stay with you. It has nothing to do with the object. It's like letting that go, maybe opening up for something completely new that you didn't even expect or like imagine happening. Just the act of letting go opens up, and you talk about this a lot, that you need to let go to create space for something new. And I feel like that letting, the action of letting go is what differentiates like the desire and like manifestation from an expectation, which I've been like struggling with the notion of expectation, because I know I have to let go of expectations, but then it's human to have expectations, right? And that is more that desire of wanting something greater than yourself. The expectation is of how it's going to happen and holding on to it. Like, this is how I want it to happen. It's not, this is why I want it to happen. This is how I want it to happen. And then you're disappointed if it doesn't happen exactly the way you want. So I think that exercise helped me kind of come to that realization and like define that better. And like, that was a really enjoyable kind of exercise. And I like the idea of it.
And for me, letting go is such a big thing, because it's a big lesson that I've had to learn and are still learning. And I think something to say that letting go isn't like an action that is either you know how to let go or you don't. It's like a layer. It's like how, it's like a softening. It's like a softening to life. Like, it will get gradual and gradual, and it's like the more you let go, the more you're able to let go, and the deeper you can let go, and every time it's coming more and more and more into that surrender, that kind of trust muscle again of like, I trust myself, I trust I'm guided, I trust that things are coming to me and I can really let go of it. It's such a beautiful notion that I just love the idea of letting go, and it's something that I'm very much discovering within myself and enjoying more the more I discover. It's a beautiful thing.
And I think, like you mentioned, it's a constant, right? You have to keep doing it. Like, till the end of your life, you have to kind of keep letting go of stuff. Like, constantly doing it. There is no point where you get to, I let go of everything, I'm free. You know, there will always be thoughts, always be emotions, there will always be people who come into your life, things that you lose, like things like that will always be there. So there's that aspect of letting go, which is something you need to constantly practice. You never reach it of like, I've let go of everything. Like, there's always something, like, let's say you have let go of all materialistic things, you still have your breath, like, you know, you're inhaling, exhaling, that you're constantly letting go. And like, your body is going through change with that. So I think that letting go helps you accept change as well, because you're not holding to that attachment. Like, you're being like, okay, I'm letting this go. I'm expecting change. I'm open to the idea of change.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very nice and interesting thing.
It's so lovely. So lovely.
And I think that's a good point to end the podcast on. Is there anything you want to share in terms of actions people can take? Maybe tips on I know there are no tips on manifestation, but something that will help people even start or think about it.
I think to begin with, start to know what you want from life, what your values are. And we've gone through this a lot in other episodes, like what's authentic to you. And really focus on that. Focus on the dialogue that comes up around it, whether you're worthy or not, and really just focus on kind of like the joy of things. Like, we are so conditioned to do things the right way, the wrong way, or, you know, we have to do this, I should do this, and we need to scrap that. You need to just focus on what brings me joy in my body and follow it. Follow it. And then, because, you know, if that feels good for you and you're already there, then start saying, what do you want? Vocalize it, write it down. What do you want? And what's the aligned action I can take towards that? You know, say I want to earn an extra $500 a month. Okay, is it going to be feasible from my main job? No, I need a side hustle. What am I good at? What could I potentially earn money from? How can I take a step forward to that? Or I want a new job. Okay, cool. Don't talk about it. Look for one. How can you put yourself out there? How can you, what type of person, you know, if you, okay, I want to earn $500 more a month. How can I, what type of person earns that amount of money? What would I spend it on? Like, show the universe that you know, oh, I'd save it. well, why? You have to know, I'd want to do this, I'll do this. Like, be brave enough to show that you want things. Because a lot of the time it's like we don't want to be seen wanting because we're scared of failure or be seen as greedy or anything like that. But we have to scrap that. We just have to be like, you know what? It's okay if I seem foolish. It's okay if I seem like I'm asking for a lot. Ask. And you'll receive.
Mm.
So it's just, if you haven't got that trust muscle with yourself, build it. And also try breathwork.
Yeah.
Really try breathwork. It is the best thing to shift your state of being. Everyone comes to breathwork because they leave after the session and they feel great. Everyone feels lighter. Everyone feels happier. It's kind of like, oh, life's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be able to get my shit together and it's okay. Whatever is bothering me, I'll let go. It's like, find those somatic practices that make you feel good.
Mm. Yeah, I think that covered it well. And do you want to tell people about the trajectory of the podcast since your workshops are taking a small break?
Yes, as always, Angelo is the structure of this, and I am the, oh, it's changed this week. So I'm taking a short break from doing in-person workshops, making some space. As we said, it's really important. I firmly believe if you want to make change, you have to let that go, to make some space to bring more offerings, which we'll see how they turn out. So the podcast is going to take a little different structure. Instead of following what we do in the workshops every month, what exactly are we gonna do?
Go through like personal topics I think we feel are important or that can help build around this idea of authentic self and manifestation and creating your own reality.
Exactly.
I think that it'll be more personal aspects of what we feel would help or be important and go down that trajectory and then see how it goes.
Yes, I'm up for it. Sounds good. Nice. Sounds really good. Well, thank you everyone for joining us this month. I hope you found value in this. I hope you enjoyed this and look forward to seeing you again next month. And as always, remember to breathe. This podcast is a CreatorCast production.